Ever wondered if your house is haunted? It's time to say hello to the bump in the night. This October, The Haunted Walk is inviting you to take part in a massive paranormal experiment. The Haunting at Home is an online interactive audio experience you can do right in your own house, in your own apartment, or in a creepy cabin in the woods. This ghostly adventure will challenge you to conduct a series of paranormal experiments in the dark. It's the perfect night of spooky fun if you love ghost stories or enjoy the thrill of trying to contact the other side. Start ghost hunting tonight at hauntedwalk.com/thehaunting. Oh, and don't forget to use our promo code for an additional 20% off. Real Hauntings.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ.
Hey, guys, I'm Kat.
And on this episode, we had a fan reach out to us, Taya, all the way from Australia. Hey, Taya, how are you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good, good. And Taya is actually our second guest who lives in Australia, but our first guest from Australia was actually an American. So this is a little more fun because I feel like we're getting the full Australian experience this time around.
I know. I already want to ask about the toilets flushing the other direction, but I won't.
I have no idea.
She said she has no idea. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, right. They flush counterclockwise and ours flush clockwise, I believe.
What? Yeah.
There you go.
But I will check it out.
If you need to go flush a toilet right now to test that theory, we'll wait.
Okay.
And audience, we wanted to let you know that Taya is recording outside. So if you hear some noises, it's just the birds and the other friendly critters that are in Australia. Hopefully not deadly, as we do know there are many of those in Australia. Taya, have you ever seen any of those huge spiders that I always see on Reddit that are in Australia?
Yeah, I had one at work this morning.
This morning?
Yeah. Actually, last night I almost got bitten by a snake.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I live out in the country, so that's my own fault.
What's the craziest animal experience you've had or critter experience you've had in Australia?
I had to rescue an echidna off the road the other day. I haven't seen an echidna out here in ages.
Okay, pop quiz. Who knows what that is other than Taya?
It's like a hedgehog.
Oh. I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, is it? Yeah. It lays eggs though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My goodness, I mm-hmm. always see those things.
How did you know that, yeah. JJ?
I used to watch a lot of Kratz Creatures on PBS. They definitely talked about platypi and what's the hedgehog one called?
Echidna.
Echidna. Because those are the only two mammals that lay eggs. Is that right?
Yep.
That's really impressive. I'm so impressed.
Yeah. Right now.
So, Taya, being a fan, we usually start our podcast out asking our guests kind of where they fall on the supernatural scale. 0 meaning they don't believe in ghosts, 10 meaning ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale? Mm-hmm.
I think probably about a 5 or a 6. About 5.5, I'm going to go.
I guess ghost agnostic then, if you're around a 5.
I think my issue is that I try and dismiss it. I say, oh no, it could just be that.
Yeah.
When there's things that it's like, oh, well, I can't really think of anything else it could be, but we're just going to say that it's something else.
Yeah.
Just curious, have you listened to our bonus episode we posted today?
I haven't listened to it yet. I haven't had the chance.
Well, audience, if you haven't listened to it either, we posted an episode today and JJ's brother, Rob Craigle, joined us on the podcast. And if you ever want to know why JJ is so darn skeptic, this will give you a good idea, because his brother is, if JJ's a 10 on the skeptic scale, his brother is like a 10,000. So make sure you tune in, check that out. It's funny that you say that because his brother told us that we were lazy for thinking that way, and it kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
Well, my brother is very good at hurting people's feelings. So.
Aren't all brothers?
Yes.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Well, so how old were you when you had your first supernatural experience?
I'd say about 3, but it wasn't a proper one. It was more along the lines of Dad telling me what I was feeling.
Oh, can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I lived in a pretty old house. I believe it was a deceased estate, so someone had passed away and we got the house. I slept in the very back bedroom, and I was always really scared of being in that bedroom. But any other room, I was fine by myself. I remember, I think it was around 2 a.m, Dad said that I used to wake up crying and upset, and he used to have to come in and sit with me. And then about 8 years later, after we moved out, he said to me that there was the old lady that used to live in that house that would come from the room I was in and walk out the back and feed her chickens in the aviary. The aviary was empty, and then she'd disappear. And that's what he would see.
Wow.
So yeah. You come from a family of supernatural believers then, is that correct?
Yeah. Dad won't let me talk about any of mine because it scares him.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, with the old lady, did your dad see her often, or was it just kind of an every now thing? Or
no, it was every afternoon at the same time she would feed her chickens.
Wow, what a sweet old lady.
Yeah. I think it was, she didn't, Dad said that she never recognized that he was there. So I would assume that like people say, where they're on different planes, she was on one that she didn't know we were there.
Yeah, she was stuck in a time loop, almost, or like stuck.
Yeah.
That's definitely my biggest fear of this whole supernatural thing. I do not want to be stuck in a time loop. I mean, as much as I don't want to die, I think I want that even less. That's way too scary.
I don't think you'd know, though.
Well, that's fair. I guess either way.
Yeah.
You might be stuck in a time loop right now, Noah.
Yeah.
It feels like it sometimes. So you were 3 and you had that interaction, but you were just kind of told about that one. How old were you when you had your first, like, own personal interaction with the supernatural?
14, and it was terrifying. I was in my second house, the one I'm in now, actually, and I slept again in the back bedroom. One night I rolled over and it was about 9 p.m., and it's extra dark in the back corner of the room. And I saw a very large figure standing in the back corner, and it was so tall that he had to kind of hunch over because of the roof. I'd see this maybe once or twice a week, and I thought, you know, because it's a really dark corner, I'm just seeing things. One night I rolled over, I woke up, I felt, you know how they talk about you feel someone watching you? I rolled over and this same figure was standing over me, and it terrified me. So I said, well, maybe I'm dreaming, and I put my hand out thinking it's just going to go away, and it was nothing. But it felt like when you put your hand in very still, very cold water, where it kind of feels like nothing, but you know your hand is in it. And then it went away. And then about 2 years ago at Christmas, I was talking to my grandparents, and we got on the topic of ghosts and whatnot, and I hadn't said anything about this yet. They went down to Tasmania on a holiday, and they hired a car, and they came around the corner in the afternoon, so it wasn't nighttime, and they saw someone standing in the middle of the road. He actually swerved off the road and crashed the rental car, had to do a full insurance claim on it because he saw this person. And they went back out and checked the footage, and there was no one there. They both said that they saw the same tall man, and it was described as a man with a trench coat. And that's what I saw. Same thing. And so after they said that, I was like, oh, I have something to tell you.
So you had not even told them about that. And then they saw it on their own accord.
Yep.
Were you all able to find out any information about this spirit? Had anything happened in that area?
Well, Mom loves Googling things. And she found out that it's like one of those common apparitions where lots of people have seen the same kind of thing. But I haven't heard of anything from outside of Australia, so maybe it's, I don't know, a convict or something.
It wasn't the Hat Man, was it? We've heard of that one from time
to
time.
No, he didn't have a hat. I was listening to that one, a few of them, and it's similar, but he didn't have a hat. And the trench coat was the defining feature, and the height. He was very tall.
Really tall. I'm picturing... Gru from Despicable Me.
Oh, yeah.
I have heard of this really tall one, except it was another podcast that convinced me that these were all real, but it ended up being just like a fake podcast at the end, like all the stuff. Oh. So I don't know why I brought that up right now, but maybe it was real the whole time.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I've seen him a couple other times during the day. I was walking through the forestry here with my dad, and I saw about 40 meters away from us was, which is about just under a yard, this big black figure walked in between the trees across the path and then walked away. And I saw it walk all across the path and then went away.
You could tell, like you said, it was a dark figure, but you could still make out that it was the same figure wearing a trench coat.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but it's like, it is a very, very dark figure, but it's like if you were to shine a spotlight on someone and you can see exactly their silhouette and their outline and everything, but it's dark, so you can make out what they're wearing and etc., but no facial features or anything.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind me asking, you had these experiences and then you had them kind of like confirmed by another party. How did you stay a 5 on the supernatural scale if you experienced these things?
Because I just tell myself that I either overreact or it was just a funny dream. Just kind of block it out is the best way to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It would be pretty scary, I guess, just to jump right into 100% that those events were real. But I do think it's interesting that the people that experience these things do often tell us that they're still like fairly skeptical about, you know, what.
Yeah, it's interesting because even like this morning at work, I still had all of those things still happen often. And I still go, no, it's just my imagination. I'm just tired.
How often do you have supernatural experiences?
Well, I had one just this morning and I work from 4 a.m. till 8:30 a.m. in the morning. So it's still quite dark. And I work at a school. So there's a lot of noises and stuff that you get, which is kind of what I blame it on as a way to deal with it. But I'd say probably every second week at least.
And what kind of like supernatural experiences do you have at this school? Are they like full-blown apparitions or is it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had just this morning actually, I was cleaning, because I'm a cleaner, I clean one of the classrooms and I saw movement out of the corner of my eye and I turned and there was a face in the window and they had a curly afro and they were pale and I didn't see anything of the body, just the face, and then it went away.
And is this like a window kind of like off in the distance or is this like right in
front? No, it was, I was on one side of the classroom and this window is on the other, and I'd say it's just trying to figure out and put it into your measurements, but for ours it was about 20 meters away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't go to the trouble of
We don't
Okay.
Yeah.
Three meters is about a yard, right? So it's about 6 feet.
Okay. Sure. I thought a yard was about 50.
Oh wait, maybe
he has it backwards. We didn't even know.
I have it backwards, yeah. A meter is about 3 feet.
And you would think that we would just know how to convert it, but any American would do what he just did.
Yeah.
We're more interested in the toilets flushing different directions.
Yeah. And that's fair. I'm interested now too.
And when's the last time you saw the trench coat man?
Maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, you mentioned your dad and kind of his fear for you and all of this and the story that you're about to share, the one that you emailed over. Mm-hmm. I can kind of see why he was a little apprehensive if you're having experiences that are this scary, because this story it's pretty frightening, wouldn't you say?
Yes. This one's the worst.
So yeah, would you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, no worries. Well, I moved in with my ex-partner and we used to sleep in the garage of her mum's apartment, and it was a bit dusty and gross because it's a garage. So we started getting sick quite often and I put it down to the dust and everything. And then I started having these nightmares where I would be in the room, in the bed, facing the entrance to the room, and I would see this really dark figure that looked like dark TV static standing in this gap staring at me. And I had this quite often, I'd say went on for maybe 2 weeks. And then one night when I opened my eyes from this dream and I was staring at the same spot. There was nothing there at this point. And then a few nights later, I opened my eyes to the same spot, but the figure that I just dreamed was there when I opened my eyes. And to compound on that issue, we had a dog that would sleep in the room with us and he would have dreams as well. and he'd wake up and he would bark at the roof in the same spot that I had seen the thing in my dreams and in real life. Oh, and then we had a keyboard that was a light up keyboard, and it had to be connected into something for it to light up. It wasn't plugged into power. And just before we were about to fall asleep this one night, after all of this had happened, it lit up. It wasn't plugged in. Nothing happened. You have to press a key and it be plugged in for it to light up. So we both said, no way, and went and slept in the lounge room. We didn't have this issue again because her mum said, like, we'll cleanse it and make sure there's no bad spirits in there. So I think it was about 2 weeks later we moved out and we got our own apartment. And there was a downstairs area, which was a garage, the front door and the back door in the same area. And it also had an understairs closet kind of thing. And you go up the stairs and the computer desk is at the top of the stairs, then the kitchen and then the bedroom. One night we were in the bedroom and I heard what sounded like someone down in the garage. So I was a little bit wary. And then I heard footsteps coming up the stairs because the stairs were quite loud. So I kind of got up a bit ready to, I don't know where I was going to go, but I was ready to go. And then the same keyboard that had lit up when we were at the other house lit up and then started all of the computers. So it wasn't just that the keyboard, you know, had a power issue, but it was like someone had to actually press a key to start all of the computers. And then I freaked out and woke my partner up and got a knife and went and had a look, and there was nothing there. But yeah, that weekend her mum came to visit and we were talking about it. And she told her mum about how when she was younger, I think she was about 8, in the house that they lived in, she had nightmares where she'd see this lady at the end of the hall. And one night she woke up from the dream and saw the lady, and the lady ran at her and hit her in the stomach, and she had pains in her stomach for that the whole morning. From what I can understand, is it's possible that whatever that was that came to her when she was younger is possibly attached to her and is following her.
Have you ever?
And is that the same figure that you saw when you had your dream?
Mine wasn't a lady, but it just seems a little bit too coincidental that that has happened and then something has followed her from place to place.
Did the static ghost have any kind of identifying gender to it, or was it just...
No, it was so... It didn't even seem human. It was like humanoid. It was like you could tell that if it was to be anything, it was a human. But it was a very weird figure. Yeah, the best way I could describe it was like TV static put onto someone.
And did it feel dangerous?
Oh yeah, it was horrible. It was you can just feel, I think when you get like really, really anxious after you've worked yourself up, that feeling, but immediately, no workup, just that very dark, horrible, like someone's died feeling.
Now I know this has happened to me before, and you know, not to discount your story or anything, but I've like woken up and, you know, thought I was fully awake, but still kind of groggy, and like have woken up and seen, you know, something that wasn't there. Like I think my brain was just still kind of in that like dream state.
That's what I told myself until the dog started doing it and then the keyboard.
So yeah, that makes it much harder to explain.
The dog sells it for me. Animals just always know. They know. I mean,
they do.
If you feel something and the dog is staring at that same spot for no reason, that makes me like a 10 in that moment.
Yeah. No, it was terrifying.
And I think this is the first episode we've had where somebody's described a supernatural experience where electronics are being turned on that aren't plugged into anything. Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of
it. Yeah. No, it was very weird.
Yeah, did you, after the electronic thing happened, did you like...
I thought maybe, you know, a power jump from the board or something, but it was actually turned off at the power point and then disconnected. So there was no way that it could have surged or anything.
Right.
It was like there was an energy in the room.
It sounds like that Kevin Bacon movie from like the 90s or 2000s Invisible Man or something like that. Did you guys ever see
I've heard of it, haven't seen it.
It's so terrible, but that's like the way you're depicting like a static person, that's what he looked like when they turned him invisible. It was like that same kind of static appearance.
Oh, it's horrible.
Kat, I'm not even going to ask you if you've seen that movie or not.
I was going to say, because I haven't, but it kind of reminds me of Harry Potter, your dreams, because it's like, remember when he had dreams of where Arthur Weasley, spoiler, was going to be attacked by Nagini, and he kept like seeing the Ministry of Magic, and then he kept, anyways, so it just, it was interesting, the progression, because you would just dream of that spot, and then one day you woke up staring at that spot. That is so,
and then it was at the spot.
Did you ever see it again, or was it just that crazy
night? I hadn't. No, it was just that one night where, well, obviously chose to show itself, I guess. And then all of the more poltergeist, I guess you could put it down to, incidents with the keyboard and the stairs and,
And you heard the footsteps up the stairs. And it just stopped that day? Or did you guys keep seeing, like, Sage, or...?
Well, they were going to look into it, but then my partner and I split up, so I didn't find out the end of the story. But yeah, it was, I think that they probably would have done what they could, because it was not a very fun thing to experience.
I'm sorry to hear that. I don't know if the ghost
was
part of it, or, but.
No idea.
So is that the most unsafe you've ever felt around the supernatural?
Yeah, definitely. It was, my first thought was, there's someone in here trying to get us. And it was, even when we couldn't find any sign of anyone being in the house, it was still that same feeling of, it's still not okay, it's still not safe. You know, sometimes when you hear a noise and you go check and you're like, oh, it was this, or, oh, it couldn't have been anything, I was just hearing things. Yeah. And you go, oh, sigh of relief. No relief, it was still, what's happening, it's not safe.
Well, Taya, we certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing those stories with us. That static man is one of the creepier ones, or static person, I guess. Was it really identified?
But
It's definitely one of the creepier stories that I've heard on the podcast. So you have the unique experience of being a fan and experiencing supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
What have you heard on our podcast that you really enjoyed as far as other people's supernatural experiences?
Well, I like hearing that I'm not the only one that sees shadow people, because it makes me feel a little bit less crazy. But I quite like Devon's, as everyone does. And Teresa's medium that she talks about has interested me a lot, because I've always been scared of going into that and seeing someone about it, because I don't want to push more of it onto myself. I'm, like I said, just block it out and ignore it. But yeah, I think that's kind of made me go, oh, maybe that is a good idea.
Awesome. Like, for you to ask what's going on in your life, or to see if, like, you could kind of have that gift as well?
Oh, no, just to ask.
Wait, so also you mentioned you almost got attacked by a snake this morning?
Yeah, last night I drove in my driveway and stopped because a snake was along the entire length of the driveway. So it was a very big snake, and it was slithering into the bush, and I touched its tail, and as I touched its tail, it snapped around, and it actually got my hair. So I was lucky that my hair was hanging down, otherwise it would have been my face.
Oh my God, that's so scary, but also really cool.
Yeah. What kind of snake? It wasn't cool at the time.
Was it venomous or anything?
No, just a carpet python.
Wow.
It actually lives in our shed.
It does? How long is it? I want to move to Australia. We're moving.
I'd say, if you can figure out the conversion, it was about 2 meters.
Oh, it's like 3 miles.
So seven.
Yeah, 3 miles.
3 miles long.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a giant snake.
Well, I'm just so curious about this electronics thing. I'm frantically Googling on Kat's phone whether electronics, if there's any way they can turn on without being plugged in, and I'm not finding anything. But
no,
maybe it wasn't echidna. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you did. But maybe snuck in.
Maybe
they're sneaky little guys.
Well, yeah. Taya, we certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing these stories with us. And I guess you're getting ready for the rest of your day, right? It's like, what, like early afternoon, morning there?
It is just afternoon. It's 12:05.
Wow. Okay. Very cool. Yeah. So it's like 10 p.m. for us. So we're winding down.
Ready for bed.
Thanks. And thanks for listening to the podcast. It's, we always love knowing that people out of the U.S. listen to our podcast. We've been very fortunate to have fans out of the U.S., especially Australia and Canada. So shout out to all you guys. And it's like, Taya, let us know if you've got a supernatural story. Let us know if you have a supernatural story. And JJ, what's that email that they can reach us at?
You can email us at realhauntingspodcast@gmail.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't check it. So.
And you know, we might, with the state of how the United States is right now, we might possibly be moving to Australia soon.
There we go.
Not really, but maybe.
Are we allowed to travel to Australia at this point? Like, is that one of the
No.
They don't want us.
Yeah, I believe we're shut.
Nobody wants us so. Right now.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate it. Well, you have a good rest of your day and watch out for those snakes in the bush.
I will. You have a good night.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh man, I feel like we got the full Australian experience there.
I know, I wanted so badly to ask all the questions, but she was so chill. She was just like, okay.
The scariest thing I heard was the snake story.
That was so cool. She was so cool. She was just like, oh yeah, it like came up my hair, but it's fine.
She grabbed it by the tail.
Touched it. I'd want to do that. I mean, if it was like 7 feet long, I for sure like just, I probably
would. You would touch it?
Well, if it was minding its own business and I just want to like, maybe I'd try to get close to it.
I touch lizards, but snakes are kind of where I draw the line.
I mean, if it's a 7 foot long snake
python,
it's not venomous, it could still hurt you, like
it snapped at her face. I mean, it was going for blood.
Ooh. I've been bit by a snake before, but it was
not a 7 foot long one.
You don't know.
I'm assume it was not 7 feet long.
I keep having this gut feeling that the more we talk about these shadow men and like tuxedo men
hombre,
whatever they're wearing, I feel like the more we talk about them, the sooner or later one of us is going to get a visit from one.
Well, I mean, do you guys ever have that experience? Not where you see like a shadow man, but I know just because I keep kind of weird hours. I feel like sometimes I see things in the corner of my eye, but I know it's not for anything, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely do when I'm super tired.
Yeah.
I've also been having a lot of like weird sleep lately. I've had a couple sleep paralysis episodes and I've been talking a lot in my sleep, and it's to the point where I'm like trying to wake myself up because the dream is scary or whatever's happening. But
Do you think it's like stress related or?
Probably. Yeah. But I don't know. I haven't been super stressed lately. Yeah. It's just like.
Could be a spirit.
Well, and not right. So like, I'm not saying that this is paranormal necessarily, but I always wake up like scared that I'm going to see something. But actually I rolled over the other night and got scared because I saw JJ and I forgot he was there. So he doesn't remember me like going, ah, he even was like, it's okay. But he doesn't remember that. So
this episode was interesting. You know, she is another one of these people that it seems like has an array of supernatural experiences all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about that? Like, you know, we've done so many of these episodes now. We've had the privilege of talking to these people who do see multiple ghosts throughout their life. And I kind of put, for myself, I kind of put them in a different category than like people who just have like one or two stories. Mm-hmm. How does that make you guys feel? Does it make you uncomfortable or scared when we have these guests who just are like, oh yeah, I saw this yesterday and last week I saw this and the week before? I have a hard time kind of processing that they have those experiences.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I think, you know, there are parts of those stories that I'm like, oh, I can write that off. Like, you know, like the waking up and seeing a figure from your dream.
Sure.
That doesn't sound that paranormal to me. But then there are other parts that I'm not sure, you know, is it just because I don't know like what the reasoning is other than it was a ghost. So I guess that's kind of what I'm clinging to. Like, you know, there are things that are explainable in elements that are explainable in the stories. And there are some elements that I don't have an explanation for, but that doesn't mean that those things are not explainable.
It's the electronics, right? That's what's tripping you up.
Yeah, I
and the dog. To me, that's a big thing. I think like dogs and cats seriously can see stuff. Yeah, don't roll your, you don't know. You're not a dog neuroscientist or something.
Neither are you.
Yeah, well, so I would rather be optimistic than pessimistic. Like, I mean, if I'm using logical reasoning and scientific whatevers, the dog is going to look at a stimulus more so than he's not going to look at a stimulus. A cat, I don't know, because they're crazy. But so if it was a science experiment, typically a dog attracts its attention to something that's there.
Okay, but you just think, JJ, when you use scientific whatevers, how does that make you feel?
Just because there's a stimulus doesn't mean the stimulus is a ghost, right? Like, there could be something else that we can't see or that we can't hear that the dog is seeing or hearing. It could be something stuck in the wall. Like, it could, I don't know.
I agree with that, but I think that a dog is a good way for us to know if something is there, whether it's a ghost or like a...
Yeah, I mean, if a dog can smell coronavirus, it can certainly smell a ghost.
But that's a good point that JJ brings up, because if it is like a sound we can't hear, something we can't see, somehow it's manifesting into something that we're starting to interpret as like, maybe it's a person, or maybe it's this thing in my dream, or a ghost, or whatever it may be.
And that's another thing, like, there are lots of sounds in the atmosphere that aren't detectable to human ears, but the vibrations still bounce off of our eardrums, and our brain tries to make sense of what those vibrations are.
And sometimes it goes through the outlets to the piano and turns it on.
That's what I don't understand. But in my very brief amount of research that I've been doing during the interview, which is probably rude of me as a host, but anyways, I did get a helpful reminder that you should unplug your electronics when not in use, because it'll save on your electricity bill.
I think JJ has become a harder skeptic since our skeptic bonus episode with his brother.
Look, oh, for I sure, I can see it on his face.
I felt a lot of shame and guilt from that episode.
I can see
he's
it.
Trying to live up to his brother's legacy.
He sounds like Rob Jr. He's quoting, parroting some of the same information we got on that episode.
Okay, all right. Well,
so
but I think I was saying some of these same things earlier on in the podcast. It's been a while since I've talked about the sound waves that we can't hear, but I have talked about them before.
And now his mind and heart are closed. His brother. But if you want me to answer the question that you asked, Noah, so you were saying, how would we explain it? Well, to me, she was very like, I mean, she just seemed like me or you or all of us, just kind of like, we don't really want to believe in it. We don't really, you know, we don't have substantial evidence, but like this thing happened, like what else would it be? And so if I'm trying to like relate to that, there was this one time I remember I told you, like, I thought I saw an orb fly by or like something spiritual or lighty flying by. That's something that I can easily be like, well, I walked up to the parking lot, I was hugging my friend, and this thing out of the corner of my eye just flew. And like, I sound confident saying that, but again, it was just like a very hit or miss experience. Now, if I had seen like an old woman's or a shadow figure standing at the edge of my bed, it'd be the same thing. I'd still be like, I don't know what it was, but this is what happened, you know? So it's,
yeah,
it's, to me, it's like racking up these stories that all sound the same is convincing.
Feels like something's to it. Especially like, I know you guys have noticed this too, but so many of these guests that are haunted, we find out that they have very close relatives who are haunted too. I would love to know, like, see like CAT scans or something of their brains and see if they share traits that maybe like we don't have, you know, like something, is there something chemically there that we don't have? Or,
well, you know, if there is a sponsor listening to this right now and you want to help us get
CAT scan
our degrees to be able to perform brain scans on our listeners, we are more than welcome to take your
money.
Sponsorship for that.
Yeah,
I don't do that. I have to spend that money on getting a degree though, or can I just
no you have to
okay
you're part of this team.
JJ, you're the only one with a science degree, albeit a what did your brother say? A social science degree?
Well,
I have a medical degree. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I have a psychology degree, but I don't, does that count as science? I don't
know. I mean, if I'm counting sociology as science, I would say psychology is even more like a hard science. But none of us have as much of a science background as Catherine, who actually has a master's degree in the medical field.
Right there. So. Kat, I didn't know you had your master's. That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you so much. My name's Catherine and I have a master's degree. But also on my resumes, because my undergraduate was psychological sciences, which is psychology. I just spoof it up on my resume.
Nice.
Anyways.
Just saying psychological sciences give it more credibility, because I think it gives it less.
Okay, well, I have a job right now, so who doesn't?
And with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm unemployed JJ.
And I'm master degree Kat. No, I hate that. Can I just say Kat? And I'm Kat.
Ooh.